Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. July 10th already now. Can you believe that? July 10th. It's like yesterday it was June 10th, and before that was May 10th. Now it's July 10th. See how time flies? Anyhow, we're going to continue on with where we were last week. Hope you're enjoying it, and then we have some new stuff.
Think about that, you know. So that's your radiation levels on this planet. Now, why do we have radiation levels? Let's see, back in World War II, we did two bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and after that we did 988 more bombs. And the half-life of all this stuff that we did in the atmosphere happens to be about 3,000 or 4,000 years. And we just swept it under the table. You're all hot in here. You guys are all radioactively, you're cooking, trust me. You got to learn to process it. That's the only way of getting around it, is processing, okay? This is facts. So, with that in mind, we go back to the store. And we look, oh, here we are at the dairy department. You know, the cows are putting out radioactive milk. It's no big deal. Vitamin D fortified. But we look at what the fortified is. It's a synthetic. Calcium fortified. Vitamin A fortified. All chemicals. Synthetics. So we drink the milk. It steals the vitamin D from our body. It steals the calcium. Our cholesterol levels go through the roof. And we wonder what happened. We're drinking milk. We got that little mustache on our face as we get in the damn grave, you know, in the casket. Think about it. It's true. And then, now this, we get down. When I was in high school, the most dangerous chemical we had in my chemistry class was bromine. It was a double flask. Remember bromine? Some of you guys got to be my age, you know. Go back. Yeah, all right, bromine. There we go. Well, what do they put on strawberries? Bromide. Oh, yeah. What do they put on tomatoes? Arsenic. Yeah. Get that out. It's down in the DNA. You cannot get that out. But they don't want you to take it out. They want you to go over the edge. Remember, just flash back today, how many people didn't use their turn signals? Okay, just use that as a reference, direction. It's true. And how many of people don't function anymore? You guys have to be semi-functional in order to get it together to come here to this convention. I have to give you that much. Okay? And I got to be somewhat functional to deal with these airlines to get here in front of you almost on time. I was only 5 minutes late. So we got something in common. We can get there if we really work on it, but how many brain deads did you have to deal with today to get here? Or yesterday, or whenever you came. Did you ever notice that? It's really interesting, isn't it? Really interesting. So, we go back to the National Health Federation, which I mentioned earlier. Okay, I told you a little about their history and what we did. And we find President Clinton, you know, after Monica Lewinsky, he had to apologize for the second thing, was that President Clinton says, I apologize because we put in 1960 cancer. We inoculated a million people down in Mobile, Alabama with a cancer virus under the polio vaccine auspices. President Clinton apologized for that, okay? Oh, yeah. And then, in 1978, when we got really brilliant over at Langley, and I've been to Langley many times. I've been to Quantico. I've been all over Washington as a whatever electronic specialist, whatever I did, I was there all the time, spent years there. Read my book, you'll understand some of the things I've done. I've been there. I've been to over 3,000 companies. I've stood at the Atomic Energy Commission out in New Mexico like this, with my foot on a nuclear warhead, giving a lecture on how sampling oscilloscopes keep these bombs alive so they don't deteriorate and we know they're going to go off when we trigger them. I've been here, done that. So, going back, here we are, looking at what happened in the past. Suddenly, Langley gets an idea. In 1981, this came out. It's called the Haig-Kissinger Depopulation Policy, a Lyndon LaRoche publication. You can get it by calling up Washington for the Executive Intelligence Review magazine, EIR magazine. Okay, you want the March of 81 issues. But there they actually slipped and admitted that herpes introduced, you know, genetically into colleges where promiscuous sex was pretty popular, spread herpes 1, 2, and 3. And from that they got the idea for mixing a cattle bovine and sheep Vishnu virus together. And in 1978, they injected that in 2,000 people in San Francisco under the hepatitis B, you know, which is good for that kind of renal exercise that these guys do, and killed 2,000 homosexuals. Then they hauled it down to South Africa and just cut loose down there, you know, and then they took it over to Thailand and Bangkok, which just, they went, you know, if you don't know anything about the cultures of the Asian countries over there, these boys over there got to have sex a lot. And perfect place to spread it, and they did. Meanwhile, we had a crash in 1980 up in the Dulce Archuleta Mesa area with the Hickory Apaches of one of these experimental flying saucers, which we call in the Air Force a Delta Bomber, which had a plutonium spill, and it crashed. And Paul Benowitz, who worked for Thunder Corporation, which was located right out at the gate of Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, photographed a ship on the ground with nets over it with three different disks around it. And I've seen this, not the photographs, I've seen the disk. And all of this radiation, plutonium, spilled down into this river, which is right next to Archuleta Mesa, and wiped out the Apaches' seven different lakes of fishing. That was their big industry up until this crash happened in 81. So Paul Benowitz was real intrigued by this after, you know, bringing this out to the public, getting everything in his body tapped, including his telephone. He started looking at these abductions of graves. And one of the first ones was Myrna Hansen in 1981. Her and her daughter was one of the first, before Betty and Barney Hill, early. But Myrna Hansen was abducted. And she came to Paul. Paul started a study. You know, later on came these other guys that do these kinds of studies now, like Bud Hopkins, for example. But this was the early days. And we took her, and I don't have my slide thing on, but we have pictures of the implants these grays put in her brain, implants. Now, it began to be really interesting to see what the implants do when they're activated. The first historical activation occurred a few years later in 1984, okay, in Austin, Texas, a guy by the name of Whitney. And he started having these flashes, and he was a very Christian kind of a person. And he said he was going to kill his wife, which he did. And then he went up on a school on the tower of the Austin University of Austin, Texas school, and shot 14 people before they took him out. When they took him out, they took him into a hospital. It was on national TV. They had a movie out. They had made a movie on ABC nationwide that this guy had, in fact, in his brain, two implants. But how does that work in our society? The way that works is that incident, which triggered many others, is where they start deregulating freedoms. In this case, it was the first deregulation against semi-automatic weapons, because that's what he had. Now, there's nothing wrong with weapons deregulation, but it's the way that the government's going about it that doesn't make sense. And that brings us up, obviously, to the present. We start dealing with the schoolyard situations, which is much more serious. Now, first, you got to understand schoolyard shootings. You got to understand a few things. First of all, you have to understand that up until about 12,000 years ago, we lived like Methuselah and a lot of other people. We lived 500, 600, 700 years. Okay, 12,000 years ago. Now, what does that mean? 12,000 years is one half of the rotation of our solar system around a star system called the Pleiades. You know, I think it talks about in the Bible. You shall be bound down by the belts of Orion, or you should be set free by the sweet influence of the Pleiades. It goes right into Scripture if you want to go there. Basically, it takes us 25,827.5 years to make one precession of the equinox around the Pleiades. If I took the Great Pyramid in Egypt and looked at how many inches it takes to go around it, I'm going to find 25,827.5 pyramid inches around the entire base of the pyramid. Ancient Sumerians must have had something together when they figured that one out, which is also the dimensions of the carbon atom in your body, which oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen hook to make your consciousness happen. Okay? So start looking at that. In that period, as we go around the Pleiades, we have 2,250-year cycles. Each one of those cycles determines the DNA frequency and the expressional level of the soul that's going to incarnate into that body made up of this DNA. So if I go back to the Piscean age, I have one frequency, the past. If I come to the present and the future, I'm in the Aquarian age, I have another frequency of DNA. Different level of integrity of the soul incarnating. However, the last 2,000 Piscean souls, 2,000 years, dear souls, were believers. They weren't knowers. Wasn't their time to come and incarnate as knowers. Their time to learn, believers. So they came here and structured religion. They structured government to regulate religion. And then they went out and had holy wars. Okay, that's Dharma. That's what we see in Kosovo, you know, still, in Africa. But more so in Europe than we do in Africa. Africa's just pure greed at this point. So they had holy wars. Now, we today live in an age we know. I mean, I don't think there's a person in this audience that can't walk out the door and see something different, something askew with people that how they behave outside of this room as they would have behaved when we were younger, when our clarity was a little bit better. I doubt that there's a person in here that can see there's not a problem going on and it's getting worse. But luckily, you have the vision to see the discrepancy. And you have the will and the power to do something about it. All you have to do is have it brought to your attention by some idiot like me, and you say, two idiots in a fishbowl is better than a government, you know? It's true. They're in the fishbowl, you know? You know, they just slaughtered one of the FBI sites the other day, the hackers. They took it right out, you know? It's really interesting what they did. But you get to start to see what's going on here, you know? You start to understand. Today, the knowers are incarnating. They don't need a Global 2000 report. They don't need a Bible. They don't need religion. God is in integrity. It's about being who you are, being honest, treating people like you want to be treated, and that's integrity. Okay? That's where we have to go. That's really hard in a society that people are living beyond their means, and they don't have time to think about the fact that they're in denial. Okay? And that's not just here. This is everywhere on this planet. Where there's any kind of industrialization, it's everywhere. Unfortunately, it's true. So we have to look at that. That's kind of interesting. So with that in mind, we begin to start to see where we are in the present time. Now, let's look at souls. Okay, if I'm standing here and I'm getting my hydrogen atoms, you know, fired up with my seven levels of consciousness, which we described, and there's nobody on this planet. There's nobody here in this world but me. I'm just walking around here. I'm God. I'm the king. You know, I'm the greatest thing ever. Who the hell's going to argue with that? Because I'm the only one here. I can be whatever I want. I have no personality. I have ultimate ego, but no personality. But then God creates Eve. You're not. You didn't pick the trash out last night. You're not God. You didn't do this. Oh my God. I've got a personality to deal with here, right? Now I'm a personality, and I'm dealing with another person, and suddenly I'm 50%.
Well, we had a cow was, hold on one second, I'm doing a taping on that change of tape. Hold on one second, I got to change the tape. Be right
into it. Examples of that are the Great Pyramid. The pyramid means balance. Our pyramids balance the electricity of the body. The perfect temperature outside the human body is 68 degrees. The perfect temperature inside the Great Pyramid in the King's Chamber all the time is 68 degrees. Whether it's hot, cold. Deserts, they have low humidity. Desert changes. Hot, cold. Tremendous, vast temperature changes in a 24-hour period in the Arabian Desert where the Great Pyramid is. If the King's Chamber, which is suspended above the ground, not an underground cavern, is always 68 degrees. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. I don't want to bore you with the details. This is Kirlian photography. Another gentleman is already giving it, so I'm not even going to take his lecture. I'm just going to bypass it. Someday we'll talk about it. These were done by Thelma Moss. Here we're talking about the pyridome in my lectures. Here I'm showing the energies. There's a great misnomer about Christopher Hills in the pyramid that I must clarify. He talks about a pi rate, positive and negative green. Okay? Doesn't exist.
When you take a plastic or an aluminum pyramid, plastic is toxic to the body, produces positive ions. Positive ions destroy the body's ability to reproduce cells. Negative ions enhance the body's to reproduce cells. The body reproduces cells at the rate of 50 million per second. When you feel good, you're producing cells without interference. When you're feeling bad, something's throwing down the body's ability to reproduce cells. Because the old metabolism is where the feeling comes from when you get to the bottom line. Here we're showing the rays of the pyramid. Our pyramids are made out of titanium and precious metals that are all harmonious to the body, meaning that they're harmonious to wavelengths that stimulate the body. And we're showing in this bottom drawing on the right-hand corner the seven colors as they pertain to pyramid energy. The very bottom is violet, moving up into oranges, yellows, blues, greens, and reds. That's what that drawing represents. The rest of it is talking about the orgone effect. We'll talk about some other time. We don't need to know about blood tonight. But there's a pyramid has a dynamic effect on blood. As a matter of fact, looking at blood, one blood cell, which is hemoglobin, has four pyramids, strangely enough, in it. And that's what gives you the body's ability to pick up oxygen and give off CO2. And when you start putting your bodies full of stress and toxins and junk food and MST and MSG and all these other things that we do to ourselves, we destroy that configuration of the pyramid. And if you map it out, because it's really the carbon atom is one of seven or one of four basic particles of the body. Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, three gases, and the carbon atom. That's what the pyramid is. Okay? When we destroy that, we destroy the body's ability to pick up and give off oxygen. We become anemic, we become paranoid, we become shortening of the attention span, we react to stress, cannot assimilate B vitamins, start to get cancer, and we degrade ourselves. The idea is to keep hemoglobin in a nice, proper, geometric shape. That's what that diagram represents. I can go into it in great detail. Here we're showing that you breathe negative ions in, you attract opposites, positive energy. When you breathe positive ions in, which the atmosphere is rapidly becoming, you attract negative energy. That's all that diagram is all about. Here we're talking about the seven different endocrine glands in the body. You have seven endocrine glands in the body. Each one has seven different or more sets of hormones. These hormones enter the bloodstream and go to the brain and they give you individualized feelings, meaning that sexual hormones, sexual feelings. Energy is the adrenal. Motivation is vasopressin from the pituitary. Depression is pineal gland feeling, mainly an abnormal production of serotonin. The pyramids, depending on the types of metal, will stimulate, turn on, or turn off those glands like switches by different vibrations. The endocrine glands themselves work on vibration in the body. There we're looking at the pancreas. Pancreas is turned on by the note D or E. Stimulated by Jupiter. It works on resonance. The colors that are shown stimulate that. The metals of copper and nickel will stimulate the pancreas. So you can see how and begin to get an understanding of how the metals in the pyramid will stimulate the different glands of the body. Now, remember when you talk about hormones, what is a hormone? A hormone is a mineral, an enzyme, a vitamin, and a protein combined, causing proteins to latch themselves together, forming peptides, polypeptides in the body, neuropeptides in the brain. These go to the brain and turn on the brain at different frequencies, which tune you into different levels of vibration, whether it's called physical plane, astral plane, or mental plane, or physical plane, emotional plane, mental feeling, whatever is comfortable for you to relate to without violating the bonds of religion. The feeling is the same. That's what drugs do. Drugs will go in and replace hormones to give effects. And what we're doing now is we're altering time. Here we're looking at some subatomic particles. We aren't going to go in there tonight. That's a whole discussion in itself. Now here's Ralph Sierra. Okay, a little Ralph. How many of you know who Ralph Sierra is? Dr. Ralph Sierra, Puerto Rico, right? If you owned the Los Angeles Dodgers and your team had a bad tricked knee and you had this guy on a, or girl or whatever on a $100,000 contract and he had a tricked knee he goes to Dr. Sierra, who uses Dr. Bell's and now Zenith's pyramid and his own magnetic therapy. That's Dr. Sierra. He's world renowned. Made many, many presentations before the U.S. Congress and the President.
Okay?
Super duper. I'm just throwing some stuff at you because we're through my lecture. Do people want to know about my background, okay? Well, my background is very simple. I started at the University of Michigan when I was 13 years old. Dr. Katz was my professor. Randolph Labs was the building I studied in for many years. So I learned nuclear physics well by the time I was 15. When I was 16 and a half years old, I was indoctrinated by the Air Force.
Yeah.
They had to play some games to get me in a little bit early because I was a year early going in. When I finally was in and recognized, this is where I went. This was early warning aircraft, radar. I was at Squadron, I think it was 331. It was up at Point Arena Air Force Base. 3392 was the squadron. That's an FPS-6 radar on the left. That's an FPS-8 radar right there. That's a height set. That's a search set. And that's an FPS-35. That was the top. That radar in the middle was the top. That thing, I had more secret clearances than you want to know about. And that's that right there. Sometimes my credentials are challenged. All right? That's an FPS-28 that we were building. We didn't quite get it finished in that picture. Okay? That's where I was. I spent a lot of time there. You know what we used to look at? Flying saucers. Believe it or not. At Point Arena Air Force Station, which is south of here, the typical flying saucer would descend out to sea about 50 miles at the rate of 15,000 miles per hour to an altitude of approximately 5,000 miles per hour, and then it would accelerate horizontally across the ground at 5,000 miles an hour down the different meridians, the magnetic meridians of the Earth. Okay, I left that job to go to work at NASA. That's a photograph of the bird that I worked on. I sweated blood in there. I lived a long time in that silo. Behind it is a computer lab right down here, right here, right here. I can honestly say that there was a lot of politics involved. I was fired from that job. I was not honorably dismissed. I was fired from that job. And when I was fired from that job, civil court action took place because I was fired because I was an employee of Rockwell, and I said, look, Rockwell is screwing the people. Somebody's going to get hurt here. This bird is not safe. Then in about 1966, Grissom and two other astronauts were killed on the Cape. My job was reinstated. I was honorably hired back to that job. I stayed there one day, took back pay for a year that I wasn't there, and walked from that job. That's my background. I took on 25,000 Rockwell employees and fried them all. And that's ego talking, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. I was a young kid. I didn't know any better. Now, what does this mean? Well, here is a picture. This is a computer enhancement of Viking 1 on Mars. Unfortunately, this is NASA frame. If you fool around with the projector, you can get the NASA numbers. Okay? Here we're looking at both pyramids of Mars, NASA frame 35A72, 41.0 degrees latitude, 9.4 degrees longitude. That is a Martian pyramid. There's three of them in this one cluster. They're right here, 1, 2, 3. Now, there were several theories. First of all, these were wind. This was formed by wind. But unfortunately, this over here did not, the background didn't match up to the pyramid. Let's blow that one up a little bit. Okay, there it is, blowing up a little bit. Pyramid. One face of the pyramid is here, one face of the pyramid is here, one face is here, one face of the pyramid here. It's 3 miles at the base, and it's 1 mile high, that pyramid. And it's aligned within 1 degree of magnetic north of Mars. Isn't that a coincidence? Our pyramid here is 2 degrees of magnetic north. Now, let's look at the Martian atmosphere for a moment. It's mostly carbon dioxide. Ooh, think about that. Carbon dioxide, how do you get a carbon dioxide atmosphere? When you destroy the ozone layer, and the ultraviolet from the sun comes down and attracts the destroys the nucleic acids of the life forms and basically fries them, which then releases the hydrogen into space, destroys the oxygen, leaves CO2. And baby, that's where we're going. Here's a civilization that built a pyramid just like we did. You want to see what that pyramid looks like at Martin Sunset?
Who was it made out to?
Strange.
Oh.
That's a NASA photograph, ladies and gentlemen. Check that one out. That's 7A12. Same pyramids at sunset. Now you tell me that there isn't a definite connection between esotericism and the physical. That's an esoteric freak out, isn't it? NASA doesn't know how to handle that one. Yeah, they backed off a whole lot. Mariner 4 was the first probe to Mars, followed by Mariner 9 and Viking 1. I'll back them up. At altitude, at more altitude. The only structure on Mars. I didn't do those. Something to think about, isn't it?
Dr. Bell concluded this special presentation with slides of a number of special projects that may be part of the Zenith system in the future. We'll join him again as he closes this late evening presentation.
I'm just showing you this tonight so that you can understand a little bit about me, where I'm coming from, what I've done in my life. I don't know where I'm going. That's all I got to say. Thank you. So I was thinking it's Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And,
but supposedly he was
no, I'm not going to give you a sermon. I almost thought of that. You guys, I know what it is. We had all that Zenith sitting out there on the table. Listen to this crowd. I ate six of them this morning. People have been saying, Keith, you look kind of worn out. That's true. That's part of the program. I don't mind. I feel real strong. I want you to know that. And I really appreciate all those hugs that you guys have been giving me this morning. You gave me a lot of energy. There's a lot going on. We have a huge amount of growth happening in this company. It's really unusual. What essentially the company is, it started with a dream, just like each of your own businesses, because the company is very similar to your own business, in that it started with nothing, and because of the dream and the vision, you can see what's happened in 4 months. And we have people here from all over the country. I had many offers by big firms, big distribution networks, to immediately take the Zenith products and put them on the shelves of the world in retail stores. I would have been a multimillionaire many times over and could have retired. I couldn't do it. I could not see Zenith sitting next to One a Day, Fair Grameum, and many of the other so-called supplements that are practically worthless and in some cases actually harmful. This is a beautiful, powerful, real product that works. You felt the energy, and that's what's real. The people need to be educated. They need to be informed about nutrition. As the lady said, our children have no knowledge at all. As Neva said, she meets people who are giving their one-year-old babies and two-year-old babies Kool-Aid or Coca-Cola. And then we have orange juice. Neva, what's the story on today's orange juice?
Okay, they make you put a mask on if you go in to watch them make juice, and the smell is unbearable. They dump the oranges in vats of chemicals that peel them, and they chop them, they go into the presses, and when they come out, there's a defoamant spraying on them. They use a homogenizing chemical to break down the rest of the cellulose fibers that may go through. And so in the measurements at the biofeedback department at the University of Utah, they were all minus food. Frozen orange juice is a waste of money. If you need your orange juice, eat your orange, because of the cellulose in it needs chewing. The saliva acts upon that simple carbohydrate. It's how nature intended us to ingest foods like that, not orange juice. Because you're getting 40 grams of carbohydrate, one of the more difficult ones to handle without the saliva enzyme action, and so they're not our friends.
Neva suggests that we eat fresh oranges. But let's take a look at how our foods are produced. Let's talk about an orange. Oh. Let's bring her up here on this one. We'll get to the insurance man in a second.
I just want to tell you that in a film we saw, and this was verified because somebody said it wasn't true, they went to the industry, nearly every orange on the market has been injected with a sweetening agent so that they do not have to pick them right. They pick them all, they go down these belts, and this thing comes down on them, and they have an injection in them to sweeten them.
They're also dyed.
Oh, yes, they're dyed gray, but the injection is a chemical that will make them sweet. That's why many people feel buzzy when they eat them. I didn't eat oranges this morning because we had tofu, but the oranges that are organically grown and protected, you can usually trust that they're very few and far between. But you should know that there is a chemical that is sometimes very disturbing to some people, go in most oranges now.
You go to Safeway and we buy these oranges and they're those big thick skins and you peel them and you bite into them and it's real watery. Have you run into those? Now you mothers out there, would you force your child, would you force the termination of your pregnancy at 6-7 months? Force it? It seems logical when we're dealing with enzymes, and we've always dealt with enzymes and the body has been attuned over hundreds or thousands of years to enzymes in live foods, that now, the first time, it is eating unripe foods where the enzymes haven't come to fruition. We're eating unfinished foods. Because for some reason in this age, the truth has been camouflaged and covered up in the name of big, big profits. Neva, how is 2% milk made? We have a glass of milk now with breakfast.
It's one of the most processed foods that is disguised as wholesome, but you know, 2% milk is totally devoid of the butterfat. The butterfat put back is another type of oil, usually a saturated oil, could be coconut, depending on whatever's easiest to emulsify back in it. Actually, the enzyme structure of the milk has been totally destroyed by the processing, and when it goes into the stomach, it will not convert to the acid curd. The lactose will not become lactic acid, and it becomes a very soapy, a very stressful food in the intestinal tract. There's a new product out called MetaFresh that is being substituted, but it too has the caseinite put back, and if they're taking 2%, they might as well use MetaFresh. It's cheaper. But we are burdening the intestinal tract and inhibiting our B-complex absorption and our amino acid conversion. So 2% milk is not your friend. To process food, if they're using 2% milk, they might as well use MetaFresh. It's cheaper. The problem with your MetaFresh and products like that is your corn syrup solids. This product, this Venus product, has been protected from corn additives. Because I was at the University of Michigan last fall. Dr. Paula Davies and her team, who are into gastroenterology and clinical ecology, have determined 95% of our petrochemical reactions can be triggered by corn derivatives. And I went to Edmonton, and Dr. Green and his team have verified the same thing. So we need to be protected from the commercial products, corn products being used. I was going to say a bit ago, sometime you people may want to hear Beatrice Trum Hunter, or at least read her book. She's very, very good on educating you as to what's in tater tots, what's in all this garbage people are eating, and she's not a fanatic. Her work is well-researched, and she's a beautiful person. So, here.
Neva, can you just sit here? Thanks.
What did you say about the protein powder again? There's no product. A lot of people are really...
This protein powder has calcium caseinate, which is different than sodium caseinate. MetaFresh has sodium caseinate in it, which is virtually powdered milk. Calcium caseinate is your protein derivative of the milk. and it does not have, yes. Oh, that's somebody that can explain how that's going to work.
Just to get back to the whole milk question about 2% milk, because it's my opinion that you shouldn't be drinking milk at all, that you don't really need milk in that form. Now, there are a number of other dairy products that if you decide that you do want to use dairy products, there are some really healthy dairy products that you could use. Yogurt, kefir, buttermilk, cottage cheese, sour cream. These kind of milk products that have gone through a natural fermentation process, and let me underline the word natural, because a lot of your yogurts are totally synthetic, you know, and they come out like a jello kind of substance. They got all kinds of artificial things in it. But if you have the milk products that have been naturally fermented, then the milk is changed from where it was into now a live food. You have these bacteria growing in it. It's becoming full of plant life. The milk proteins are somewhat already digested and broken down. The milk sugars are changed. It's a much higher energy food. It's got a lot more vitamins and nutrients in it because of the action of the bacteria. And these bacteria go ahead and then start rebuilding the bacteria that's living inside your system. Because the bacteria that's inside your intestinal tract, there's actually more cells of bacteria in your small intestine of the bacteria than there are cells in your body. There's over 100 times more cells in the first part of your small intestine than there is cells of you in your body. And these cells are right in there. They're metabolizing the foods that we eat. They're energizing the foods that we eat. They make a lot of the nutritional supplements that we need for our body are made by these things that live inside our intestines. And without the proper intestinal ecology, we are once again not living total health. We're not building total metabolism if we have an imbalance inside our system. And we find that there is not any animal on the planet that uses mother's milk after they're weaned, after they have teeth. And so we should follow what we can see happening in nature. And this is common sense. Whey is often really good. It's high in protein. It helps build this intestinal flora that I'm talking about. It supports the acidophilus.
If whey has come from a natural curding process, the lactose has changed to lactic acid, and lactose is our problem. Where lactose goes into the small intestine, sets up a putrefactory bacteria, and puts us in trouble. But how is this pertinent to the use of zenith? The reason, what's pertinent is, once you get people thinking better, feeling better, even about themselves, more objective about life, then they will be ready to adjust the diet to more natural means, because something inside is saying this is good. When you put natural food supplements into the body, the intelligence of the body responds, and a sense of wanting more. So if you start converting them from milk to begin with, you may not get anywhere. But if you start with a building program, a conscientious building program, then their own inner intelligence guides them and they listen.
Thank you, Neva. We haven't even got through breakfast yet. We've lost their appetite. You know, it wasn't really my intention to bring these guys up, but it has to happen. You know, truth has to get out. By the way, Neva, what is the effect? One, and just real quickly, the effect of drinking all these liquids like coffee and all these other things while we're eating our meal.
The work done at the University of Michigan for 6 years, they showed us film, they showed us documents that drinking of any fluid with a meal is a disturbance to the natural peristaltic waves that go down the esophagus. We are supposed to chew our food, our breads, till they're sweet and soft. So the saliva enzyme acts upon that carbohydrate. The peristaltic wave carries it into the stomach. The gastric pouch opens the upper stomach and closes the flora so that your proteins will stay in the stomach until they reach a 2.2 or even as low as 1.7 acidity to bring about your pepsin flow and to prepare your proteins and your minerals for use. Drinking fluids washes food into the stomach. It forces the peristaltic wave abnormally. The stomach does not open properly and foods are washed into duodenum prematurely. So drinking with meals is not considered good nutrition. When people take their tablets, now it's my opinion that they should eat then take the pill as they eat. Chew a mouthful of food, stick it in, it goes right down. When you gulp a glass of water with a tablet following a meal, you actually put your body to a disadvantage in using not your vitamins, it will use them, but your proteins, your carbohydrates properly. So eating slowly, masticating food well, and not drinking fluids with meals is a very good step. Many people's stomach problems are taken care of by that.
Thank you, Neva. No questions yet. You can get Neva right after the morning session. As a man thinketh, so is he. Therefore, if this is true, it's also been said that a person's concept of themselves determines the kind of world in which they are to live. It's one of the most powerful statements I've ever heard, and I studied it for years before I fully understood it. A person's concept of themselves determines the kind of world in which they are to live. Okay? It's not my quote, by the way. See, I learned all this as I went along. Some things you might want to do, I took success motivation tapes. I did those tapes. I read the books by the millionaires. You can pick up some of the energy off these books, but don't try and imitate them, because each of you is totally unique. There is not another person in the universe exactly like you. So you have something special to offer that no one else, anywhere else in the world, has. So use that quality of your own being. Don't do it like me, okay? But develop your own personal power. Because now what I'm going to tell you is that you are unlimited beings. We set our own limitations, and then we must live within them. If this is true, why not start expanding your brackets? Expand your limitations. Explore, grow, it's fun. And the whole world changes. As soon as you change your own concept of yourself, your whole world changes. It's that fast. I guarantee you, it's an exact law of the universe. Okay? I've seen it work a million times. And if you reap what you sow, if you're only sowing a very limited state of consciousness, you will reap in accordance to what you're sowing. So sow big. And when you hit a limitation, it's an opportunity for growth. All right? Now let's continue this a little bit. Now, my own problem was, I was selling to 2 out of 3 people. I got to the point now, because it became so natural, and I began to mock it up in the beginning, but now I'm living it because it's a habit system. You have to get into a habit of being successful. We've been trained by propaganda and education and everything else to accept a limited state of consciousness so that we can work in society, and the people who are ultra-rich can stay ultra-rich while the rest of us stay in the middle class supporting them. Okay, but now we're not going to accept that anymore. We're now going to start accepting prosperity consciousness. You have to accept it. I've gone through this before, too. I cannot give it to you. You must be willing to accept it before you can have it. Isn't that true? How can you have anything if you're not willing to accept it? Now comes another question. What is it truly, my friends, that you really want in life? Have you asked yourself? What do you really want? Because you can have it. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to give it to you, but I can't give it to you. The only way you can have what you really want is if you take it. Now, how badly do you want it? Do you want your own freedom to have whatever it is that you want? Then what are you prepared to do about it? If you can get 100 first-level distributors, good ones, ordering only, say, an average of a six-pack a month, you will be a millionaire. All right? Now, what you do with this money is up to you. With 100 good first levels, your income will be somewhere in the vicinity of around $15,000 to $20,000 a month. Okay? That means that if you only, and I want you to think about this because we're dealing with concepts. Remember we talked about concepts. If you only share with 100 people the freedom to activate their own inner personal power and to give them the vehicle to go out and manifest it or express it, if you've shared with 100 other people this opportunity, you can become a millionaire. Isn't that wild? Now this is a reality. Unfortunately, we have people in the organization who do not understand how the marketing plan works, and they sign up one or two people who are red hot, and then their volume goes up along with these one or two people. But unfortunately, when the bonus checks go out of Zenai 2, that person gets 9/10 of the entire... Zenai 2 is our computer, by the way. That other distributor is getting 9/10 of all the income. So what you want to do here is you, every time you find someone who's a really good distributor, go-getter, who sees this thing for what it really is and is immediately activated by his own personal power, you've just come along. You're like a catalyst or an enzyme. You've finally given the person what they've been waiting for and looking for. I tell you, they are out there. They are out there waiting for you to show up. So to the degree that you give, you will receive. Okay? Salespeople, traditionally, in the old approach, always had to feel like they had to ram something down somebody's throat or prove something to them, or somehow to power it through to them and get that person to start taking their product. We're not dealing with that energy. That's for those guys. They can do that. Zenith people, crews. They just show up on the scene, and as you begin to generate the Zenith power, everyone in the room stops in their tracks and turns and looks at you, and you haven't even said anything. And I'm not kidding. This is a reality. And then you turn to them and you say, it's come. Zenith has arrived in your life. And you're coming from that level. And if they hear you say that, there is no way they can turn around and walk away. They've got to know, who the heck is this guy? What is this guy doing here, or this lady? And they see you reeking with this knowing that you've got the thing happening. I mean, it's here. And then they want in immediately because they see something in you that they want also. You understand what I'm saying here? When I got up to $10,000 a month and $15,000 a month income selling vitamins door to door to retail stores, worked only 4 hours a day. That's all I would put in. I like to work about 4 hours a day. That's what I used to do when I was a distributor. And I had a bunch of distributors sitting at breakfast. I was trying to eat my breakfast, and they were all figuring out how they were going to sign me up. And finally, I made an X on a piece of paper, and then about three of them were trying to grab the paper. And he's got it. And they know that I would rather be a distributor if I didn't have this job to do as president. Yeah, no, you're not. I can't sign up. But when I went into these stores making $10,000-$15,000 a month, the secretaries would walk in there, and I would come walking in with a bag on, a t-shirt, and blue jeans, full of vitamins. Be sure to get a bag and stick your vitamins in there, because now you're becoming spontaneous workers, co-workers with the force. Believe it or not, this sounds corny, but it's real. So now we're working on this level. We don't have to prove anything to anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? Okay. Before, a salesman was in the process of proving himself and his product to the person. We don't have to. This stuff proves itself. All you got to do is get them to put it in their bodies. And if it takes giving it away, try it. I think, Steve, don't you have a story about giving away Zenith?
I still do. I don't get turned down. I just give three away, three-day pass away to people that are somewhat reluctant.
Yeah.
They're not quite good.
Yeah.
And it's a turn down right from that point.
What percentage?
But I don't wait till they call me.
Yeah. You go back at the end of 3 days. Follow up. It's extremely important.
100%.
100% when he's giving away a three-day supply. And he comes back 3 days later, and he's got 100%. Let's give him a hand on that. Now, we're talking about a sales concept here. You reap what you sow. Now, I saw Dr. Tanberg. He would take a Zenith Nutritional Systems pamphlet, and he would staple on a little baggie with 12 pills in it to the pamphlet.
Right.
So he would hand that to people as a unit. Looks very good. Of course, I don't want you to get into giving all your vitamins away, because the object here is to make money and become financially independent. So don't go out and just start giving away stuff. Keith can do it, obviously, because he's in a better position. But you guys, you know, if someone's hassling you, like with Steve, if they're kind of hesitant, then, like we did with the insurance man, when he says, well, I'm not interested, Then I said, what if I give you a 3-day supply? I mean, where is that coming from when you're willing to give people something? That's totally unusual. But then this is not a normal company. All right, let's get back to marketing. Now, if you bring in 100 good first levels, you're doing good. Every time you sign up somebody that's hot, what I did was instead of relaxing and saying, boy, I got a real good one, you know, that kind of thing, and sit back in a chair. When I got someone who was hot, the cycle was on. So I went ahead and went out when I was finding good people. That's when I exploded and really went out and started looking for a whole bunch of people, because I found in my own experience that, like, sometimes it would go for a week where it'd have a hot week, and then the next week it seemed like nothing would happen. How many of you run into that where it goes in spurts, you know, you get a lot of people? Okay, sometimes when you're going out trying to sell Zenith and nothing's happening, take the day off. There's certain days when it just doesn't seem to happen. But other days when it is happening, go to town, because when the flow's on, it happens. Go with the flow, yeah, right. And so get familiar with that. Watch how it works. But every time you get one or two people, don't relax. When you get one or two good people, that means they're going to become supervisors. And if you've got your people breaking away and becoming supervisors, you have 6 months yourself to get up to $2,500 volume, or you lose that 4% override until you can get up to $2,500. So don't put yourself in that position. When you see somebody taking off and you can see that they're going to break away, and you can see that if they do break away, you won't have a $2,500 volume, go out and get a lot of good first levels. Build up a group of first levels who are just interested in buying a six-pack a month for their families and not interested in becoming supervisors. If you get about 50 of those kind, then you will have a steady $10,000 a month volume always happening. But then you can then start springboarding your supervisors underneath you. But build a foundation of distributors. Do you understand that? Don't just find one or two people and go, wow, these guys are doing great, I'm going to kick back. It's not going to do you any good. You need to get out and keep sharing it with people. Get a broad base of first levels. Now, I've had distributors who have, because their hearts are so giant, their distributors call them up and say, okay, we're having a meeting. We want you to come down here and work with our third and fourth level distributors. And I used to do that. But to a degree, you're doing their job for them. If you are trained your first levels well, then they will pass your training down to their first levels, who will pass it down to their first levels. So put your full time and energies on your first level distributors. And don't work with your fourth and fifth. I mean, be responsive to them, especially when you're a supervisor. You have to process their applications. You should give them a phone call, welcome them into the company, make sure that their sponsor filled them in on the distributor kit. If he didn't, call up that sponsor and say, I had talked to your new distributor. This guy's ready to go, but he doesn't know what's going on. You just gave him a starter kit and split. If you give him a starter kit and split, then here's something else. Sign them up for their reasons and not yours. Okay? Find within them a reason for them to sign up for their own reasons. If you talk them into signing up by your energies, then as soon as you pull your energy away from them, they won't do anything. Do you understand that? If you come in using the old sales thing, I'll call it Piscean sales as opposed to Aquarian sales, because these are terms we're going to start using. And the Piscean salesman comes in and, hey, this is really dynamite, man, blah, 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 which is okay. You know, enthusiasm is good. I don't sound like somebody a little bit. And they go, wow, wow, this is fantastic. Where do I sign up? Okay, see you later, all right. And the guy says, I'm holding a starter kit. And he goes, what happened? And that's easy to do. You can come in and hypnotize people, give them a starter kit, $15 and a six-pack, and split. But as soon as you're gone, they sign up because you were so dynamic. Okay? They're not going to continue to order. They may, but they don't know what to do. They sign up on your energy. Now you come in here instead and say, hey, what you into? And they go, well, I'm into this and that and health food, blah, blah, blah. And you go, do you have a lot of friends that are like joggers and runners and stuff? Yeah, I work out at the gym, you know, and I run, you know, 10 miles a day and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah? Well, gee, while you're around with your runners, man, maybe you should turn them on to this Zenith. Most of your friends into supplements? Yeah, they are, you know. Well, you should turn them on to this. It's an incredible new product, and this thing will blow away whatever they're eating. And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, well, you make a couple of hundred extra bucks a month, and you're turning on all your friends with the best nutritional supplement they could ever get, and this kind of thing. And he goes, yeah, you know. You're creating, in his own mind, his own business. Get him turned on for his own reasons. Then when you walk away, the guy is still sitting there going, wow, I got Jerry over there, and I got Bob. My mom's going to get some of this stuff. The guy's already building his own business. Now come back and work with him. Get him going. Okay, get him going. Spend a month or two with this person at least. Have him come to your meetings. If you spend 2 or 3 months with these first levels, then they're going. Now you can step back and you're getting overrides for the rest of your life off that. So for 2 or 3 months of energy with that person, they're going to go. So work with your first levels. And when they are on your energy wavelength and they're really going now for their own reasons, then they start signing up their first levels. And they're passing on the same effective kind of leadership and momentum. We're going to bring up the science director of Zenith. Dr. Fred Bell, of course, was a great scientist with NASA. He was responsible for checking out the birds before they went up. He was in charge of the actual staff and team that went in and pre-checked the entire spaceship operation before it took off to the moon. Fred, come on up and tell them about ions and what we're doing. I'll see you guys at lunch. I'm sure Fred's capable of handling the situation here. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we got one new product now that I'll share with you just before lunch, because I know you're ready to go get ready for lunch. So I'll just be here for a couple minutes talking about this one. This is, where's Myron in here now? Myron remembers this. Hey, Myron, tell them what the new slogan of this thing is.
Teach a jet lag, see, be it, portable ion machine.
We had an experience. This thing right here is now on, putting out ions. Now, what we're doing is running a little test on it. It's been running almost continuous for 4 days with 8 little batteries in it. So it's quite powerful. And it will go inside your car. You can take it home with you. It's not recommended to charge up an entire room like a saucer, because a saucer has a better dispersion on it. But it's very important to have this thing, especially when you're driving around, you're sitting in traffic. And I'm sure a lot of you enjoy sitting in traffic behind a Greyhound bus. That's always fun. The other area that we had the delightful experience of trying this machine out, and we were very successful with it, was inside of an airline, an airliner, next to a person that was smoking, sitting right next to them. You could turn this thing on, and it's really funny, the smoke comes off your cigarette, goes about a foot, and disappears. And along with it goes the odor. Then when the cigarette goes out, you don't have that horrible tar that usually follows when they stick it in the ashtray and the garbage starts getting released from the next stage of degenerating cigarette smoke. So that's one good use of it. So in that, see, jet lag is a, what they call jet lag is the body's lack of air ions. It's the lack of the body's ability to pick up oxygen because the air ions are all positive. When the air ions are positive, the Bohr effect that I briefly mentioned last night doesn't work. The body cannot assimilate oxygen. The blood can't even carry it. So it's important to have these types of devices right now. You know, just like, for example, when you go to a restaurant. How many of you go to a restaurant, you go into the no smoking section, and still in comes that smoke? Yeah. And that can, I mean, how do you like, because your nose is one of the 5 senses and it influences taste. So this is another application for this thing. Okay? It's available, you can start ordering these things immediately after today. Okay? The price on them, including all the adapters and everything that goes with it, will be $10 more than the saucer. Okay? The output of these things is just a little bit under the saucer. But we have a lot more going. When you make something portable, the expense goes up. Okay, we included in the price will be the battery pack, the recharger, the cigarette lighter adapter, and the 110-volt thing. So it all comes with it. You won't have to go to the store and buy this and that. So you get all this included in the package. Okay. The literature is being typeset now.
Any other questions? Yeah.
I'd like to know what makes these generators different from the glut of generators on the market. If someone asks us, why shouldn't I buy one for $59 instead of $150?
Okay. There's a lot of things that make them better.
Number one, the Zenith name. It's guaranteed. A one-year guarantee right off the bat. Number two, the circuitry. A lot of the... there's one particular designer by the name of Norm Hayes that owned a company called ISS for quite a few years. He was state-of-the-art in ion generators. He developed some of the most advanced circuitry on the market. Several of these so-called low-cost generators have been mere attempts to rip off that energy. As a matter of fact, after lunch, I will bring you a disassembled competitive generator, and I'll show you what a piece of junk really is all about. I have one I tore apart just for this meeting to bring it in, to show you the difference. Okay? If you want to see what goes inside of ours, I don't have one of ours torn apart, but come down to Corvallis in about 3 weeks and we'll show you what goes into one of ours. You'll be able to see the difference in the components and the transformers and the quality. And you see this thing I'm about to bring in, this is one of the biggest sellers on the market today. Okay, that's number one. Number two is the frequencies. Our generators run in frequencies from 500 kilohertz to 1 megahertz. 500,000 cycles per second to 1 million cycles per second. The human cell has a vibratory frequency where it reproduces harmonically in those range of frequencies. The inner lymphatic system within the cell, and there's a whole lymph system within the cell, because everything in the cell is in your body. Okay, it's just smaller. Operates on the higher frequencies around 1 megahertz. The more gross, the protein sacs, the Golgi bodies, things like that in the human cell operate on the lower frequencies. Our generators run in that area. And remember, why do we need negative ions in the first place? Cell reproduction, right. So why not have an ion generator that has a frequency that is not only correlating to the body, but also the cell itself, okay? Now, the next thing is education. When you pay a little more for one of our generators, you're getting a little bit better backup. There's a 340-page manual that you can buy called Death of Ignorance if you really want some information on ion generators. It covers what the ion generator does to you on every aspect possible to express that I've been able to come across, okay? On top of that, the units, there is no other generator out that'll compete with these things. The saucer, for example, over there, $159. Any of the competition that's being fair will tell you that this unit right here with a circular design, this is designed by Norm Hayes, okay? This unit right here has the best coverage or spread or effect. It is most effective. It gets the ions out all the way around. These other ion generators go from 90 degrees to about 270 degrees of dispersion. So we have a much better dispersion rate. Now, so we have dispersion, we have assimilation. Our generators are harmonically resonant to the body, so you're able to absorb, okay? If we want to go into that in detail, I'll bring my slides down. We'll go into that hemoglobin blood explanation that we skipped last night. Yeah, but you get a feel for where we're coming from. There are other ion generators on the market, but there's none on that have the frequencies. A lot of ion generators, for example, operate at 60 cycles. The one I'm going to bring in today operates at 60 cycles, okay? Now, 60 cycles is the frequency of the line. Now, how many of you have ever meditated with a refrigerator in the background? That's 60 cycles. Okay, ours are running way up in frequency, way beyond that low distraction operating frequency. 500,000 to 1 million, the frequencies of the cells, what I was covering earlier. Oh, yeah, the early ISS generators, there's a few of those around. They produced 200, I think they produced 500 of them altogether. No, they're not on the market. They were off the market a long time ago. Yeah. Okay, the industrial units, which I'll bring one down after lunch here, work through the antenna systems. We have two forms of antenna systems. One is a piece of, like a cylindrical plastic that comes down that directly just injects the ion. And the other one is what is called a septogrid, which I'll bring down. Now, the reason that we recommend a pyramid antenna system is that, number one, the industrial ion generator is sitting there putting out 40 kV. That's not going to do any dispersion. You physically wire these things up in a room, okay, or in a business, or in a home. And when we use one of our pyramid antenna systems, you get a charge of not only ions,
which is represented by the running water out here and the pine needles, but you get a charge of sunlight with the pyramid, okay? Because there's a particle in the pyramid called the vitality globule. How many of you have heard of the vitality globule? All right, a lot of people have. If you study mortality rates, natural death occurs between the hours of 2 o'clock in the morning and about 5:30, or 1:30 to 5. That's because the vitality globule, there's a tremendous lack or absence of it during this time. We did a lot of pyramid research several years ago. We found that you could take plants that required the vitality globule for photosynthesis in the leaves and put them in closets and grow them with pyramids over them, and they would grow, in some cases, better than the test or control plant that was in the sun. Okay? Now, some people said, this is where the first one of the mistakes in pyramid energy came about. They said, well, you know, the plant is growing 3 to 5 times faster with a pyramid than a normal plant. It speeds up plant growth. No. It's the same thing that happens when you eat this vitamin, you feel normal. You might feel better, but you're feeling normal. When the pyramid was placed over the plant felt normal and grew at a normal rate. Now, the reason the plants in the sun didn't grow at the normal rate is because the ozone layer, which is being destroyed by high-altitude jet aircraft, only a half-inch thick, is not stopping the ultraviolet anymore. So the ultraviolet rays come down and hit the plant, and they literally burn the plant up. They're frying it. It's like getting in a microwave oven. And unfortunately, that's happening to you every day when you're in the sunlight. You're getting a certain amount of ultraviolet that you should not get because it's out of balance. And what happens then is the nucleic acids are then destroyed in the human cell. The next thing that happens is, in the comparison between the Martian environment and this, was that when this cellular breakdown takes place, the delicate oxygen-hydrogen bond is destroyed, the oxygen is liberated, or the hydrogen is liberated into free space, and the planet becomes CO2, atmosphere. That's the next step, and that's right where Mars is now. Then the life forms die off, and the planet loses its magnetic field. When the magnetic field is lost on the planet and goes down in intensity, the oxygen is no longer held back and it's released. Okay? That is how planets die. A lot of people, I'm not a very good astronomer, but I did study astronomy. This is orthodox information, what I'm telling you. It's nothing new. But people forget. When you study your cell. When you want to learn science, study your cell in your body. Study the relationship between the cell and the body and the universe. Then study a planet. Look at the core of the Earth. Study the relationship between the core of the Earth, the inner and outer mantles, the surfaces, and the charges, and one of your own cells. There's no difference. The Earth is a giant cell on one level. And it's all life. It all responds to vibration, different vibrations of light and sound and color. So when you understand the harmonics, you can orchestrate your consciousness, and you can walk up to anything and have an understanding with it. You don't have to be a super intellect. You can just get it from the feeling, but you'll know what you're dealing with. And there's one thing that I wanted to cover on the water here. Somebody asked the difference between organic and non-organic metals. On one level, everything is organic, okay? But on the level that it is usually referred to is, in case of aluminum lead, the body cannot chelate or get rid of the aluminum. So you put aluminum in your body, and it stores. It stores in there, which starts to break down the electrical conductivity of the axons and the electron transport system. So it's important to get these heavies out that interfere with the electron system in the body. In negative and positive ion studies, the neurohormone serotonin was discovered as a detrimental hormone in the body, okay? Because as you get older, certain hormones shift gears, like I was talking about earlier today. They shift gears. And when they shift gears, your body goes up into a higher octave or vibration, and you have a more inner level of personality expression. Okay? And so they found that during wind tests, because wind blowing on the desert produces positive ions, Dr. Max Schulman at Jaffa Gate in Israel ran tests on people that were affected by the full moon and positive ion poisoning. In all cases, the serotonin production went up 1,000 times measured in the urine. And NASA, the same test, concluded that 24 hours of exposure like that produced acute depression, 28 hours would produce suicidal tendencies, and 30 hours would produce a state of death. Okay? So these are some of the tests. The planets will influence that. So, for example, let's say that we're having a conjunction with Mars. We're having a sunspot, okay, an eclipse of the moon, and the wind is blowing positive ions, and you're sitting in an automobile late at night following a bus. You've got a whole lot going against you. You understand? So what we try to do is educate you as to your source of feelings. Your source of feelings. Feelings come from three different places. The air that we breathe, relationships, and the food that we eat. But when you get to number two, okay, for example, number two is relationships. Right here, the feeling is the group feeling. The feeling here is the sum total of all the energies blending. Okay? Now, if half of you in the audience right now are constipated, okay, the feeling would be a little bit more tense. Christopher, Dr. Christopher over here in Utah is an old friend of mine. He's an herbalist. And he used to have one of his favorite expressions. How in the hell can we have peace when all the warriors sitting around the peace table are constipated? Things are going to be a little tense. So, chemistry, body chemistry is important. Suddenly, number three becomes number two. One thing I want to do before I talk about pyramids for about 5 minutes is I want to give you the symptoms of positive ion poisoning so you can check within your own nature and your own being and see if any of these exist. The first most observable symptom of positive ion poisoning is indecision. That's number one. I don't think, for example, that our forefathers, the pioneers that came across the country and then even came over from England here, were indecisive. I don't think they were indecisive, or were they number two symptom? Paranoid when they left England in a little old tiny boat. I think they were driven by spirit because they were clear with spirit, because they had healthy temples then, because they weren't eating garbage food, they weren't drinking polluted water, they weren't breathing air that wasn't fit for nothing. Absolutely, a bug couldn't even breathe the air today in some countries. Number two is paranoia, usually coupled with a B deficiency. Because your cells can't reproduce, they start suffocating internally. The hemoglobin molecule in the red blood cell is starving for oxygen. Number three feeling is shortening of the attention span. You are unable to focus over long periods of time or hold an imagination and extend it. Okay? I know that from wearing the pyramids and being around ion generators, my attention span is a lot greater than it was when I was in college. People used to say, well, when you get out of college, your attention span is going to close in. You better keep reading. That was not true. I found that as I got out of college, I didn't read for several years. I just went out and hung out and raced cars like Errol Stodge. I just was a playboy for about 4 or 5 years. And when I got back into serious study and got into pyramids, I was 10 times the attention span. And the last thing, the worst and most deadly symptom, as far as I can see, of positive ion poisoning, which can occur in an automobile or a plane or in the cockpit of the plane, is temporary lapse of consciousness. Okay? What happens if the brain doesn't get any oxygen for, say, a second or two? That will usually manifest as you're having a conversation and you lose your thought train. You say, oh, excuse me, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, okay, now let's get on to that. Or remind me what I was saying. That's number one when it's coming on. Number two is when you're driving down the road and you just drive off the road or drive into somebody, okay? You say, I had an accident. Well, you fell asleep. And how many times have you ever pulled out? You look both ways, you're wide awake, and you pull out and you hear somebody screeching and they almost run into you and you didn't even see them. You know why? Because you had some positive ions in your brain and right at the point where your eye nerves were. And usually color, you lose some color perception. This other car happened to be in the perfect harmony of what you weren't seeing. And I've had that problem several times with light blue, like some of these t-shirts. I've had, every time I made a note of that, and it happened to me. It hasn't happened enough, but enough for me to realize it. And it was always a light blue car, okay? And it was because I was inside this automobile environment, okay? It happened to flight 402. When they flew the jet aircraft straight into the ground in a clear night in Florida and killed 75 people in 1975. How many of you know that the United States Navy had this on submarines? Every submarine had one of these things in the 60s. We've got a training tape down in Los Angeles. It's a Navy training tape, and we're going to make a Zenith training tape.
Well, we went a little over, so we'll stop here and continue next time.
Every single jet fighter has negative ion generators. They wouldn't even...